Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. We're pulling a little switch on you this week. I am back from vacation. Jim Garrity is now on vacation for the week. And filling in for him today, quite ably I might add, is Dan Foster of National Review Online. And Dan, it's good to have you back with us.
Thanks, Greg. Great to be here as always.
Let's start with the good martini this week, certainly for conservatives. And that's the latest news from Gallup, which is probably been one of the polls that's been the most negative regarding the snapshots from week to week and month to month on the president's job approval rating. But they've now got him for the first time under 40% approval rating. This isn't a vote on or a poll on whether they are going to reelect him, but those numbers are kind of underwater right now for the president as well. But 39% saying they approve of his job performance, 54% disapprove, both of the worst numbers from Gallup in his presidency. And as we always have to put in the caveat, it's over a year now before the election, but given the last few weeks and just given the long-term trends on some of the most critical issues, things are not getting any better for the president. And that can only be a good thing for whoever emerges as the GOP nominee.
Right, and more importantly than the fact that they're not going well for the president is the fact that he doesn't seem to have a path out of these terrible numbers. He doesn't seem to have a plan on jobs or on any of the issues that are dogging him. And if you recall, you know, sort of midway through George W. Bush's second term, there was a huge media to-do when his polling numbers consistently fell below 40%. And I think we're witnessing a similar watershed moment. Now, that doesn't mean, as you pointed out, that he can't turn around and win this election, because we also have to realize how unprecedentedly unpopular, for instance, congressional Republicans are right now. The American people aren't happy with anybody, but certainly, as Harry Truman said, the buck stops in the Oval Office. So you're right, this can only cheer the conservatives and can only cheer Republican GOP hopefuls, those that are left anyway.
Exactly right, and we'll get to that in just a second, as well as Barack Obama's solution to this. But just to put it into a little more perspective, the president was kind of in the mid to high 40 range in early May when the U.S. Navy SEAL team took out Osama bin Laden. Then his poll numbers briefly went up to 53%, and now he's back a full 14% off of those highs.
And Jim Garrity actually had a great little post about this last week that it wasn't about the Gallup numbers, but the CNN numbers, that when President Obama had just taken office, record high 68% approval rating, Obama's approval rating soars, all these positive headlines. Then there was a story last week to the effect that Obama's approval rating remained steady, you know, and what they didn't mention was that it remained steady in the low 40s.
Exactly right. And now under 40, at least in this one. But you mentioned the winnowing field of Republican presidential hopeful. I think winnowing and the Iowa straw poll are now both copyrighted, because I think just about every media personality used that term in conjunction with how it tends to thin out the Republican herd. And well, right. It may be a little bit cliche, but it once again turns out to be true, because we got this announcement on Sunday on ABC's This Week program from former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty.
Bringing my record forward as a two-term governor of a blue state, doing things like getting government spending under control, doing health care reform the right way, and much more. But obviously that message didn't get the kind of traction or lift that we needed and hoped for coming into the and out of the Ames straw poll. We needed to get some lift to continue on and to have a pathway forward. That didn't happen, so I'm announcing this morning on your show that I'm going to be ending my campaign for president.
Now, Dan, obviously all but one of these Republican hopefuls is not going to win the nomination, so they're going to be dropping out from time to time. But I think Tim Pawlenty is a particularly interesting bad martini for conservatives, because when you look at what he was able to do, as he mentioned, in a blue state, he accomplished quite a bit. Unfortunately, he wasn't real good at articulating it in a way that interested a lot of people. He remained kind of bland on the stump. He looked very kind of robotic in the debates. And when he did go after folks, it kind of rubbed people the wrong way with Michelle Bachmann. And back a couple months ago with Mitt Romney, he had the whole Obamacare line on one of the Sunday morning shows and then refused to repeat it in a debate. So it's kind of, I think, a campaign of missed opportunities for Tim Pawlenty in something that I think a lot of folks, if they had taken a closer look, might have been interested in.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there's a lot going on here. On the one hand, I think my colleague Ramesh Panuru is correct when he said on the corner yesterday that Pawlenty occupied this kind of middle ground between the doctrinaire conservatism of Michelle Bachmann and the accessible, electable, mainstream Republicanism of Mitt Romney. And it turns out there probably just wasn't that much room for that sort of candidate. But I also think that from day one, and this was a knock, this isn't second guessing, this was a knock that a lot of people had on Pawlenty from the point in which he entered the race, is that he was running as somebody who he wasn't, this sort of exciting action hero with all these Jerry Bruckheimer production value web videos. And the guy you got on the campaign trail and in a debate wasn't necessarily a boring guy. He was just a run-of-the-mill politician on the stump. He wasn't the driest. He wasn't Ben Stein, or Ben Stein character, I should say, because Ben Stein's actually pretty funny. But he wasn't the most exciting guy in the world, and he maybe got some bad advice. I'm not really sure, but yeah, you had this awkward kind of contrast between the performances he would put on, the retail politics he was doing, and what he was trying to accomplish with both the nonstop action movie ads and things like going after Bachmann, which, as you said, was just really, really awkward. And, you know, I don't think either side won that exchange. I think going back to the Iowa debate, most of the hits Michelle Bachmann attempted to land on Pawlenty don't survive a rudimentary fact check. But that's a separate topic. He certainly didn't land any clean blows against her either. It was just kind of a mess. And she was going in with a lot of juice and he was going in with none. So, you know, that's what happens. She emerges victorious and he drops out.
And of course, Republicans had been swarming Iowa for the past few weeks because of the straw poll and its impact on the race. So that means Iowa's gotten a huge dose of rhetoric from the Republicans on why Obama has to go. So therefore, it's the president's turn to respond now, Dan. And of course, he's going on what Mitt Romney calls his magical misery bus tour, which just happens to go to important competitive states right in that region. Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, I believe, are all on the docket there. And Iowa's a state that he won handily in 2008 and is very much a toss-up now, which is a similar story that we're seeing in a lot of Rust Belt and Midwestern states as a result of the horrific economic record that we've seen over the last couple of years. So in one way, it's kind of pathetic that he feels like he has to follow on the heels of the Republicans. It's doubly pathetic that we have to pay for it because the campaign is not paying for it, but the taxpayers are paying for it, which just makes it outrageous, but pretty predictable from a guy like Obama and his attitude towards the taxpayers.
It's a pure campaign event. I mean, right down to the props, the bus, you know. It's a pure campaign event, and it's being done under the aegis of the presidency. And, you know, it'd be one thing you'd like to see at this stage, 15 months out from an election, you'd like to see the president of the United States running for reelection by being a good president. You'd rather see the pure campaign theatrics and the retail politics, you know, start a little bit later. But the fact of the matter is that this guy's got no record to run on. So this is what we see. And you're right. He's following in the heels of the Republicans going through the Midwest. But more damning still is that he's not bringing anything new. I mean, clearly he's got no jobs plan. The White House promised new proposals for job creation, and they haven't been forthcoming. And so what we're seeing is his handlers, and I guess the president himself, think that the Barack Obama of 2007 and 2008 is best displayed when he's out with the hoi polloi and pressing the flesh, meeting people. So that's what they're trying here. It does seem a little gimmicky, and I'm sure more note will be made of the fact that it's being done on the taxpayer dime. I don't suspect it'll be a game changer, to say the least.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the independents especially, but a lot of people are going to respond to the negative Barack Obama. We've already seen it a lot in this debt debate. Of course, 2008, he could use all this lofty rhetoric, but now he's got a record he can't run on, so all he can do is go out there and blame Republicans in Congress and try to dismantle the top-tier Republican presidential candidates. And so people are going to have to get used to a lot of whining and a lot of complaining from Barack Obama, and as we've seen over the past few weeks, they don't like that very much.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's campaign season.
Absolutely right. Dan, great being with you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Dan Foster of National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Tuesday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.